Series, page 155, God So Loved the World.
I was a trainee in the church at that time, and there was an older couple who had been planning for retirement for a long time. He had a pretty good job, I think it was with the government, and they had saved, they had made plans, and they were going to travel, and they talked about their retirement and living together for the rest of their lives after that. And they saved diligently. Again, had a good job. I think it was a government job, and there would have been a pension involved with that and Social Security. And they wanted to travel the country, travel the world, live the dream, if you will, after working all of your life and saving for that time. Most people look forward to the retirement time, reaping the benefits of a lifetime of work. Some of you are in that station in life already. But what is your idea of retirement? Again, some of you are there already. Some of you are looking forward to it. Some of you, it's so far in the distance, really haven't given it that much thought and can't even imagine the concept of retiring because you haven't even started the process yet. What would retirement look like? Or, as I say, are you currently living the dream and doing what you always wanted? Or do you wish you could have saved more? You wish with retirement, or you're at a certain point in life and you're looking at the statistics about what it's going to be like at retirement, and maybe you haven't had an opportunity to save enough yet. Did you, or do you have a retirement plan? Many people have retirement plans, then get to the point of retirement, but that dream has been taken away, destroyed due to not enough money, or having money taken away, or health, it's taken away, the retirement possibilities, or the death of a mate. There are a lot of different ideas for retirement. They may fall into the category of living on the beach, sipping umbrella drinks. That's my idea of retirement. You know, that's all I need is just a place to order my drinks in Jamaica or wherever, and that'll be it. Or travel the world. Always wanted to go and visit these exotic places or historical places, and that's what we're going to do when we retire. What other things might we do? Take a cruise ship and go around the world or whatever. Volunteer for Habitat for Humanity or Peace Corps, and that's what we'd like to do, is just help people out and donate our time to that, and that's what would make us fulfilled at retirement. New consulting position. You love the job you had so much that you still want to work afterwards but not have to show up every day to do the 9-to-5 or 8-to-5 grind or whatever. A lot of different things that people have. Maybe you just don't want to retire, you want to stay in the saddle, and they'll carry you out feet first. And that's your idea of retirement. If you have an ultimate retirement plan, whatever that might be, it requires a plan. It can't just happen and work out to where you have the ultimate. Now, a few people end up and they get an inheritance and they live quite well afterwards and can do about what they want, or maybe a lottery winner, which would be much rarer than even an inheritance. But for most, and even if you have an inheritance, it requires planning. It requires discipline. Saving for that time in your life where you want to do what you always wanted to do requires sacrifice. Budgeting. Contributing. Now, obviously, this is a sermon, and I'm not going to talk about financial planning. This is not a retirement seminar where I sat in on a retirement seminar a few years ago, and they gave you all kinds of good ideas about how to plan for your retirement. But this is, like I said, a sermon, and you're probably ahead of me, that since our lives are a training ground for the kingdom of God, since that is our ultimate goal, since that's where we want to be and we're looking forward to and we're planning for that, it takes planning. And I want to ask you, what is your savings plan for the kingdom of God? We dream about it. We want it. We desire it. We want to make that the rest of our lives after working hard in this life. But do you have a plan? Now, we're not talking, when I relate this to retirement, I'm not suggesting that the kingdom of God is retirement where we sit on a cloud looking at the beatific vision or whatever, as some would have, or just laying back and doing nothing. Obviously, it's going to be an eternity of fulfillment. I mean, ultimate reward for what we're doing on this earth. But literally, living the dream. Doing what we love for eternity. So let's look at God's perspective on this topic of physical retirement or life on this earth and planning, or particularly living the dream of a lifetime of eternity in the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, another one of those familiar scriptures, as Mr. Dameron was talking about. And Jesus talked about these things and what was important and what we need to be doing as we prepare for and plan for our ultimate reward. Luke 12:15, the ISV says, "Then Jesus told them, 'Be careful, guard yourselves against every kind of greed, because a person's life doesn't consist of the amount of possessions he has.'" Now, it doesn't say it's wrong to have possessions, unless having those possessions takes you away from God's purpose for you, and hopefully your purpose for you. So it's not, saying, everybody has to be poor. But it says, be careful about greed. And then he told the story of the man you're familiar with that had a set-for-life savings account. I mean, he was a wealthy farmer, and he had all these goods and set up, and he had so much, I don't know what to do with it. And some of you could be in that position, frankly. And here's what he says, verse 19. This guy says, okay, I'll say to myself, self, you've stored up plenty of good things for many years. I mean, my 401k is packed. I got Social Security. I've got a pension. I mean, I own my house. And I got everything, and it's time to retire. He says, take it easy. Eat. Drink that umbrella drink and enjoy yourself. Okay, so there be anything necessarily wrong with enjoying retirement. Verse 20, God told him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded back from you. Now who will get the things you have accumulated? Now, the problem with focusing on and that being our main goal and purpose in life is money and gathering things is that that is very, very transitory oftentimes. And verse 21 says that's how it will be with the person who stores up treasures for himself. It's about me. It's about what I'm going to do, and I don't care what happens to anybody else. If I have to step on other people's toes, if I have to take from somebody else, if I have to run over them, it's about me and what I've got. He says, so that's how it is with a person who stores up treasures for himself rather than with God. We'll get back to that in a minute. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Matthew 6:19, and another instant, he was talking to people. And along this line, he says, New Living Translation, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroy them and where thieves break in and steal. Now, is he saying, don't have a savings account? You know, don't prepare for retirement. Don't put away. Just live your life and give it all away, or just spend everything, or whatever. That's not what he's saying. But he does say, verse 20, store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. And the key here is verse 21, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Any of you had moths eat your money? No? What's that? You spend it too fast. Moths can't get to it quickly enough, huh? Anybody had rust? Like, take away your money? Have you? No? Okay. But maybe thieves. Okay. Chances are some of you have had things stolen. Somebody broke into our house several years ago and took my wife's wedding ring and a few other things like that. And so that can happen. Maybe you've had money stolen or you've been scammed, and your plans for retirement or paying off your house or having a better car or whatever have been tanked. Moths and rust didn't need it, but maybe thieves did. And even with your best efforts, sometimes you end up not with as much as you had hoped for or planned for. There was one widow in the church in Phoenix years ago who had, you know, been raised like so many in the time of the Depression, and she had saved. She and her husband were diligent, and her husband had died and had sold the house, and she had a pretty good fair amount in the bank. And one of the members tried to help her out and say, well, I'm going to double that money, and made investments in Turks and Caicos and lost it all. The person had good intentions, I believe, but the lady lost it nonetheless. Another gentleman worked for Enron and retired from Enron. And you know how that goes. So people invested with Bernie Madoff. So, the best of intentions can end up it being taken away, whether you got a good heart and attitude or not. Bitcoins have disappeared. People go into bankruptcy, which has happened many. Stock market collapses, housing market collapses, and we end up in places with even good attitudes and good intentions, not having what we wish we could have. Unwise spending. You know, some people end up at retirement and they've blown it. They did a lot of things, but don't have anything to show for it. It can be health issues. Everything we got went into, my wife's or my husband's sickness. Now, maybe you were cheated out of an inheritance. I'm not going to ask for any. There was one of the wealthiest members that I've ever dealt with, lived in Wyoming years ago, and his family got into this arguing, and they had a lot. But one of the kids got stuff that the others didn't, and things went away. You know, Jesus talked about that specifically, Luke 12:13. New Living Translation says, "And someone called from the crowd and says, 'Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me.'" Remember Jesus' response? "Help me. I've been cheated out of my inheritance." Jesus said, "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?" It's kind of an unexpected response from Jesus, right? I mean, he's the ultimate judge. And why didn't he just say, "Okay, well, I'll help you out here. Make sure you get your fair share. Make sure you're not cheated out of something." He said, "Frankly, that's not what I'm dealing with right now. I got things that are more important. I'm going about my father's business for your welfare," as was so aptly described in the sermonette. Verse 15, and he said, "Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life isn't measured by how much you own." You're willing to destroy your family for greed. Some of you have experienced that, or you know of people who have, I'm sure. I was mentioning before services today, I Googled billionaires who lost everything. Just do that as a, it's interesting. People had everything, more than plenty, houses all over the world, and the richest guy in the world at one time, I think it was his name, Einke from Venezuela, he ended up literally losing everything and being in debt. Or people die. The couple in Denver I told you about that had planned for their retirement, she died. It was about 2 months before his retirement through a sickness. No fault of their own, but their retirement plans were gone. Now, there's a balance. I'm not saying we shouldn't save. The Bible says, "If you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much." And how we handle our money is important to God. The person who hid his talent, when the others dealt with it and they were blessed with others, is taken away from them. You don't hide your talent. You don't just go through life and not care. Go to the ant, you sluggard, the Bible says. Store up for yourselves. And so the principle's there. And so I'm not saying don't save for retirement. But note this, and this is what I want to focus on today. We read Luke chapter 12 and verse 21. Where it says, this is what happens to the person who stores up treasures for himself rather than with God. So treasures can be stored up and should be stored up with God. Matthew 6:20, the other one where it says, store your treasures in heaven. So we normally focus on not storing your treasures on earth part of it, but how do we store treasures in heaven? What does that look like? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know, Paul concludes his time on earth, and then he assesses what it was that he looked forward to. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 says, "The time of my departure is at hand." Okay, I'm ready to check out. Okay, but I have something to look forward to. When you retire from your job, hopefully you have something to look forward to. Afterwards, you'll do with the rest of your time on earth. But he says, verse 7, "I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race, I've kept the faith," and verse 8, it says, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not me only, but also all of them who have loved his appearing." Let me rephrase this a little bit. Paul could have said this: I'm about to retire from the company. I've worked hard. I've served my time and been a faithful employee. Finally, there's laid up for me a full pension plan, which the boss will present to me at my retirement party. Not only me, but all faithful employees. So basically, Paul was talking about a spiritual pension plan that is provided by God for all eternity. Now, if you have Social Security, or if you contribute to Social Security and you're not ready for retirement yet, you can go into what do they call it, socialsecurity.gov or whatever it is, and you can calculate about how much you're going to get at retirement or how much you do have if you're retired. If you have a 401k, you can go in online or drop into your, you know, wherever, and you can find out how much you got there. Okay, I got $10,000 or $100,000 or whatever it is. You can see how much you've got in the plan. Or with your pension plan, if you were blessed enough to have one of those. But how much treasure do you have stored in heaven? I mean, it says you have treasure in heaven. How much do you have there? What did you do to get it? What can you do to get it? What is that treasure in heaven that it says God stores for you, waiting for the time that he distributes it to you for eternity? It's essentially what it is. And how do you store more treasure in planning for the kingdom of God? We should be planning. It says we better be. Most plans, Social Security, you put in, you know, what was it, 12% now, 12.5%, something like that, if you have a company and you put in Social Security. If you have a government plan, you put in so much. I know a couple of you here have been worked for the government, and you've got a certain amount that that comes out of that. But generally, 401k or pension plans, that type of thing, have employee-employer contributions. You know, with Social Security, you've put in a certain amount, your company put in a certain amount, and then the government kind of finishes all out and probably will give you more back than what you put in, depending on how long you live, of course. I had a plan one time that was limited to that a year, but I put in $1,000, the company put in $2,000. They were trying to boost the plan for the employees. And I got that $2,000 from the company if I contributed $1,000. If I decided, and some of the employees decided, well, I can't afford to give the $1,000, so they didn't get the $2,000. You don't contribute, you don't get it from the company, right? Now, God's plan is frankly the same. Now, ultimately, eternal life is a gift of God. It's not something, no matter how much you put in, you don't get it unless God decides to give it to you. And that's one of the promises that are talked about there, right? That God will do it, but we have to do our part. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. So we'll get the gift of eternal life, but if we're not contributing, God will not give us that gift. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. This, I think, sums it up, these several verses here. It says, we have a priceless inheritance. Okay, we got this great pension plan. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure, undefiled, beyond the reach of change or decay. It's not like the money that can go away. It's not like death that can take away your plans for retirement or whatever, or health. But God's plan is solid. If you've got savings, if you've got money in the wherever it is, your 401k or whatever, you probably look to see how those investments are doing. You know, maybe just getting a minimum amount of interest, or maybe in, wow, man, I've really done well with these stocks or whatever, right? So what are your contributions to this fund? Verse 5, it says, and through your faith. Okay, here is one way, we'll see here even more, that you contribute to your retirement account or your pension fund for the kingdom of God for eternity. Your faith. That's a contribution, according to God. It says, through your faith, God is protecting you by his power to receive the salvation. You contribute faith. And again, all this is with God's help, as was also pointed out in the sermonette very well. But so you contribute faith, and God is protecting that investment. I don't know if any of you have ever lost investment. Stock market or wherever else, it doesn't feel too good. And you want to be where it's safe, and you probably are trying to balance, well, what's safe and what's going to draw a great amount. But you're safe with God, okay? So your faith, God is protecting you, and you will receive salvation, which is your ultimate reward, which is ready to be revealed at the last day for all to see. And, you know, if you retired, or you're looking forward to the time you retire and say, it'll be great, this is what we're going to do, and it's going to be so good. Just happy to finally not have that grind on the job or the stress or whatever. It says verse 6 here, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Ultimate plan for what happens after this life is done. And even though you have to endure many trials for a while. Okay, now I ask, so what are some of the things you contribute to the fund? It goes on to say, verse 7, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. And trials and faith are put in together as a contribution. And it says, and it's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. So he's using this kind of the analogy we've been using here, right, of saving and then the reward. It says, though your faith is much more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials. So you go through tests. You go through trials. And it tests your faith. How do you come out of it? It says, so when you go through trials and you have the faith in God that he's going to see you through, what happens? Continues, and this is in verse 7 still, it says, and it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. It's a matching program. You know, you put in faith, you go through trials, and you succeed with God's help, and then he gives you all of these blessings, the praise, the glory, the honor, that ultimate pension plan, if you will. You know, Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, what does he tell the Laodicean church? He says, I counsel of you to buy of me gold. Right in the fire. Then you will be rich, it says. And not physically, spiritually. Trials, faith, you're contributing to the ultimate reward. First Peter 1, verse 9, it says, the reward for trusting him. Okay, so trusting God is another contribution. I asked, so what are you contributing to your eternal life? Well, this is a way you contribute. This is one that says, lay up treasures in heaven. This apparently is one of those treasures. The reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. Verse 13, think clearly and exercise self-control. You're exercising self-control, you're obeying God, you're not going out and doing your own thing, then you are contributing to that reward in heaven. And it says, look forward to the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. Verse 14, so you must live as God's obedient children. And as we, with the right attitude and the heart and mind, with God's help, we live as obedient children to God, then he gives us the inheritance, as it's mentioned, is described elsewhere. Verse 15, going back to Mr. Wood's sermon a few weeks ago. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you, going out to the other sermonette, is holy. For as the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. Matching contribution, right? God gives you this much. You give what you're able to give. Okay, and he'll bless you beyond measure. So being holy is a contribution to this pension plan, if you will. Verse 17 of 1 Peter 1, it says, remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. Now, you look at religion today, and oftentimes they'll say, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Okay, so Jesus died for you. He did it all. He's making the contributions, and you don't have a contribution to make. If you try to make a contribution to this, you'll lose the whole thing, is basically what it says. No, it's a matching, you know. It is God's. It is God's gift. But you'll be rewarded according to what you do, no matter who you are, how much you have to contribute. Spiritually, Jesus talked about the poor widow that put more in than all of the others who had much more. And sometimes we think, well, I wish I were in better health and I could do more and give more and serve more. And God blesses you according to what you're able to do. If you're able to do something and don't, you're not making the contribution. Chapter 1 Peter 1, verse 17, the last part, it says, so you must live in reverent fear. Okay, fear God and keep his commandments. You know, fear God. You know, save your tithes. Fear God. Go to the feast. All the things it says we're fearing God. Live in reverent fear during your time as foreigners in the land, serving out our time here. Verse 18, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom paid was not mere gold or silver, it was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. That's the ultimate contribution that Jesus Christ gave. Now, that's his part. But we have to do our part by accepting that sacrifice, by repenting, by following through with his commands. It's a great process. Verse 21, through Christ you have come to trust in God. Again, that's where trust comes in, as a way to store up treasures in heaven. And you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him his glory. You know, when I was making my $1,000 contribution and my employer was making $2,000, I thought, that's a pretty good deal. I mean, they're sharing the brunt of it. They give the most, but I do my part, right? Verse 21. Let's see, I guess I read verse 22. You were cleansed from your sins. There's God's contribution to us. You have obeyed the truth. There's our contribution. Now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Okay, now this gets down to where the rubber meets the road on the whole thing. Because you can make empty contributions. Contributions you make must include the love for your brothers and sisters. It says, love each other deeply with all your heart. Verse 23, for you must have been born again, not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal, the living Word of God. So it's a, what does 1 Corinthians 13 say? It says, though I give my body to be burned, though I give all I have to the poor, I'm a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You know, so it's not just doing stuff. Well, I did this and I gave this contribution. I tithed all my life. And so God has to give me these things. That's greed. Okay. That's about self. But it talks about love for the brethren. Other ways that we contribute. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter 2, 1, it says, get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. When we do that, it's like stealing from the employer instead of contributing to the fund. You know, there are people who have stolen, like, I don't know, there's several members who have had employees, and not just members, but even the school in Bosque Farms where kids went to school there, the secretary siphoned off funds. She did not get a retirement. Okay. By going the opposite direction, we're siphoning off funds. We're kind of making withdrawals and burning them. Be done with deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, all unkind speech. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk so you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. For years working for the church, they didn't have a savings or retirement plan at all. And finally they started a 403B, basically, where we could make contributions and then they would match some, but it would be set aside for retirement. When we found that out, I kind of craved that. I said, yeah, I like that idea of being able to save. So if time goes on, which they said it won't go on, but just in case it does, you know, you'll have a little something for retirement. And that's the way it is. We got to crave this process. Okay, let's take a couple of minutes, and I won't have you go too far, but talk to your friend or person sitting next to you, just turn around, family or whatever, and list a couple of things that are contributions to your treasure in heaven. What could we do? It says God rewards you according to what you do. And just think, what are some of the contributions that we can make that are storing things in heaven? What is God looking for in us? Go ahead and just talk to a neighbor, family, or friend. Turn out, you don't like him? I'd like to make the first contribution. Okay, Rob. Okay, faithfulness in relationships, in your, okay, when you make a covenant with whatever covenant you make, it's God-related particularly, and you're faithful in that. If you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much. You're going to be faithful to your mate. You'll be faithful to God through eternity, and that's what he needs. Satan wasn't faithful. And I can't help but think that God's saying, okay, good. Contribution. I take that, I can use that later. Okay, anything else? Dave?
Kindness to others,
kindness and doing things for people that can't repay. Can you think of a scripture that might go along with that? You don't have to. I want chapter, verse. No. No. If any. If any of you gives a cup of water to one of these little ones, because he's my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Okay. Yes. What does it say happens with prayers? Revelation? Yeah, the vials of the prayers of the saints stored in heaven, if you will. The vials of the prayers of the saints and a sweet smell coming before God. So, yeah, that comes up to God, stored in heaven, and he's faithful to remember those things. So, yeah. Okay, what else? Yeah.
We talked about being the light to the world, how we live our lives, such an example for others, and we can encourage them through the difficult trials that go through in life, and that's how we can invest in our salvation. And I think that's an investment that we get a lot more out of than we contribute.
Being a light to others and contributing, and you can think of a way we talk about that in the kingdom, that we look forward to a time when someone's called at that time and they say, oh yeah, you were them, and hopefully doing the right thing, right? You're storing up in heaven an opportunity for others to come along. So yeah, God certainly looks at that. Yes. Praying for your enemies, yeah, because, that one in particular is interesting, because you're kind of forcing yourself to use the God's Spirit, because that's not normal, right? So you're, God, help me to like pray for my enemy look at the way you do. You're going to forgive them for what they're doing at the time that they're called and so forth. And so, yeah, I got to say, I appreciate that. You're thinking like I think. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so a lot of these are fruit of the Spirit, patience, love, long-suffering, those things where you are really using God's Spirit. If you If you're working for a company, you're going to be promoting the company and the company's values, and hopefully you can work for a company that does. But and that's what we're doing here, is we're promoting God's values. He's the employer. He's the one that we're trying to please, and it's storing up for us because you're doing a good job as a representative of the kingdom. So I think that would fall into that category, and God saying, thank you. You're asking for God's Spirit and God's help to do that, and so you're focusing on Him and you're putting your treasure in heaven. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, humbling yourselves to have the right attitude to do all these things and realize where the help comes from, and that you're, and that's where he says, have the mind of Christ. And I know God looks at that. I mean, he talks about the, you know, you're being written in the book of life, and he writes down our deeds. And I mean, he says, I gave that sermon on that. You've heard others, but you know, he's thinking like I am. I like that. He's promoting the kingdom of God like Jesus Christ is, and some of your other comments fall in that same line. Okay, any other? Let's just look at a couple of things that 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17. Yeah, this follows up with what we just heard. 1 Timothy 6:17, New Century Version. Command those who are rich with the things of this world not to be proud. Okay? we talk about humility being necessary. So humility is the opposite of pride. In other words, whatever you have, and we've all got a whole bunch, whoever you are, don't be proud. Tell them to have hope in God, not in their uncertain riches. God richly gives us everything to enjoy. So God gives us things when we do His will. Verse 18 of 1 Timothy 6. Tell the rich people to do good, to be rich in doing good deeds. Be generous, ready to share. And then verse 19 says, by doing that, they will be saving a treasure for themselves as a strong foundation for the future, contributing to the process. Then they'll be able to have the life that is true life, ultimate pension plan, contributing by giving to others, by being generous and not being stingy with what God has blessed us with. We referred to the scripture where, I'll just read this one, Matthew 19:29. Everyone who has left houses, brothers and sisters, or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. And so sometimes we have to give up family, especially due to the church sometimes, that the family doesn't like what you're doing. And we have to give things up. But whatever we give up for God's sake, okay, you're going to receive 100-fold. This is a great investment, okay? Some of you have made investments, and some of you, if you got 100-fold on your investment, chances are you lost most of it or all of it, too, because things aren't that easy. This one's easy. Luke chapter 12, verse 32, that's when it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you." And that seeking first the kingdom, making your life the life that God wants us to live, to be a part of the kingdom, that's the key. He's gonna provide that ultimate plan. And verse 32 says, "So don't be afraid, little flock." So don't fear. Put your trust in God. "For it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom." He says, verse 33, "Sell your possessions and give to those in need." Now, doesn't mean you have to sell everything. I don't think Abraham sold everything. I don't think David sold everything. Some in the New Testament did. But it's a principle of being willing to give up everything if that's what is necessary. And give to those in need, and this will store up treasure for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it. No moth can destroy it. Luke 12:34, "Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also." So it's talking about an attitude, what we do with what God's given to us. And then Galatians 6, verse 8. You know, if you contribute or have contributed to an IRA or a 403, 401k or whatever, some people get tired of contributing. I'd rather go on a vacation, and I don't have enough to put away. I don't have enough to save. Or I can't afford to tithe or whatever. It falls into this category. Galatians 6, verse 8. "Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature." Galatians 6, 8, continuing, it says, "But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit." So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we'll reap the harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Don't quit contributing to the plan. So what is your savings plan for the kingdom of God? How much do you have there? How much are you planning on contributing? And what are you planning on receiving? Let's close with Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9, and when you go through trials, you go through things that test your patience, things that test your faith, things that you get tired, but you keep on. All those things that we talked about with contributing, you keep it up. You don't quit contributing. And this is what God says. Hebrews 6, verse 9, the last part of verse 9, New Living Translation says, "We're confident that you are meant for better things, things that come with salvation." Verse 10, "For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do." There's that love factor. Giving and caring for one another. Verse 11, "Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true." Keep making the contributions. Don't let up just because it's difficult. And what you hope for will come true, the ultimate plan. Verse 12, "Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you'll follow the examples of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance." I've got a credit card that says Capital One on it. And every once in a while, the gal will come on the television and say, "What's in your wallet? What's in your heavenly account?"